was fresh out the country.
My name's Bron, I'm an addict. I work hard to get up here enough. Can you hear me? All right, cool. Hey, my name's Bron, I'm an addict. A little nervous, you know what? But I'm excited. I'm really excited. Thanks to my crew that came out here. Thanks to the committee for asking me to share. Thank you, God. God is so good, man. I am all in. I am all in with Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't know if I've ever... I'm at a place in my recovery right now that I've never been. It's like... It feels like a video game and I'm unlocking extra levels, you know? Extra levels of freedom. And I'm not just talking about freedom from active addiction. I'm talking about freedom from judgment, freedom from obstacles, freedom from gossip. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's I'm existing in this place right here that has freedom, and it wasn't always like that. You know, I don't know that I need to share my using to qualify. I mean, when I came in here, yeah, I couldn't stop. I saw a meeting schedule. They were signing the meeting schedule. I saw where they put their name. I kind of watched who put their name where, like I was slick or something. And then I matched up who I wanted to talk to based on if they talked in the meeting and I felt safe with them. I didn't even know what feeling safe was when I got here, you know? I projected like I wasn't afraid of nothing, you know? I had a lot of lessons to learn. I prayed on women when I got here. I didn't really pray, I just kind of made myself available. It's like we were attracted to each other, you know? And hey, a lot of lessons. I had to learn that like hooking up with women in the 12-step fellowship doesn't make you a player, it makes you a creep. So, what a bummer. It was a bummer. I thought people were haters, and it was just my truth, you know? I remember I was the guy, I didn't like gossip, right? And I thought that if I didn't share it and I just listened, then I wasn't participating, right? And I had to learn that what happened was I was compartmentalizing people. I was building cases against people in Narcotics Anonymous. I came in here and I was watching what you did. I was listening to your shares and I wasn't successful with the information yet. And so I was taking the information I was hearing around here and I was labeling you based on you know what I'm saying? And I'm not proud of it, but it's what I did to survive and what I did to make sure that I felt safe in here. And what happened was I boxed you. I thought I was boxing you to put you in a place where I felt safe, and the truth was I was boxing you in a place that separated you from me.
Right.
And also, too, another thing that I did was I went through foster care. And so I had the ability, I didn't know this, I had to learn all this through pen and paper. I didn't understand how the pen was going to help me get off the pipe. I really didn't understand it until I committed, you know. I used to make pipes out of pens, you know what I mean? So, I was compartmentalizing people, I was isolating, I was listening to gossip, I was boxing them in, this is another thing I did too. If no one else is gonna tell them, I'll tell them. I was that guy, you know? I had to learn, honesty without compassion is cruelty. I had to learn it. I was like, because people were like, I don't like that guy. And I was like, oh, so you'd rather they gossip about you? It was twisted. It was twisted, you know? I came in here and I got in a relationship. And I waited 90 days. I got a 90 and 90. It wasn't. I didn't have 90 meetings in 90 days. He said, no women for 90 days. And I spent like 90 days trying to like, slot them in on 91, you know, day 91. Like I was doing something, you know, and I got myself into a relationship early in here. I know now that if you don't address your childhood trauma, your next relationship will. And I didn't know that at the time. And so what happened for me was that it was 2-6. 2-6 don't equal a well. It's not like algebra, you know? 2-6 don't equal a well. And so we were trying. We cared about each other, but it was a distraction. It was a distraction from working on me. It's so much Oh my gosh. It's so much easier to... Hey, I love you. Love you. Hey, it's so much easier to focus on someone else rather than focus on yourself. That's why I was compartmentalizing and building cases against people, you know, so I didn't have to look at me. And I started doing the 1-2-3 shuffle like Megan talked about. And when I got to the 4-step, I heard people talking about going out and stuff. When I got to the 4-step, I started to feel feelings from my childhood that I didn't like, and they were coming up, and I felt like I was that little boy that was at the top of the steps trying to protect his mom from getting beat, you know? And my stepdad used to make up songs. He would like rewrite Rolling Stone songs about how my mom was messed up, and then he'd come up there and he'd beat the crap out of her. And I have visions at work of me standing at the top of the steps trying to protect my mom. And what happened with that, it terrified me. And I convinced myself the steps were here to hurt me, not help me. And it got real dangerous, you know. I didn't come here to feel that way. That's what I said. And the truth was that I was afraid. I was afraid. And I had yet to establish a relationship with fear, you know. And I thought, I remember my sponsor telling me that relationship, she moved on and got with someone else. The creep. Someone out-creeped me. You know what I'm saying? The next guy. And then they started running their mouth, right? And that's another thing I learned in here is I don't like when people run their mouth, right? And what happened was I've been diligent in the step work, but not initially. It wasn't until after my sponsor told me that the steps were in order for a reason and that there's a God in the second step and we're turning it over so that you don't have to go through the 4-step. You don't have to stand at the top of those stairs by yourself. God is with you, you know? I didn't know that. I didn't know it. And so he committed to sitting down with me and writing steps. I told him, one of my partners, I take credit for it, but one of my partners, he's like, me and my sponsor, we make plans to break plans, you know, we get together. And so I called my sponsor to a meeting and rattled off all this stuff that was wrong because I hadn't called him in a while. And he was like, pump the brakes, you know? And I told him, well, if we make plans to break plans, we need to get together every... And I was stealing someone else's. I was parroting. You know that parroting that goes on in here? I was parroting. And so we've been meeting every Thursday. Every Thursday for, 16 years now. 16 years. And so it's been truly, truly beneficial, you know. Got through the steps. Oh, no, wait, let's go back. Hey, she moved on, right? I didn't like it, it was uncomfortable, right? They were running their mouth, that's what I was saying, running their mouth. They were running their mouth, right? And I started doing this thing where I didn't like him, and I didn't like him, and I didn't like him. And, because they were running their mouth, and I didn't understand why. And when I put pen to paper, my sponsor was like, what are you afraid of? And I'm like, I'm not afraid of nothing. Again, I hadn't established a relationship with fear yet. I said, I ain't afraid of nothing. And he said, you missed it. And I come to realize that I was afraid that people were going to believe the stuff that was being said about me. And then that struck that abandonment chord with me, that you were going to leave me and I was going to be by myself. And I didn't want to go back to that bedroom. I didn't want to isolate. I didn't want to be strung out ever again, you know. And so I was picking off the target because I didn't know the exact nature yet. And it wasn't until I figured out the exact nature that I was able to stop picking off the target, you know. I got myself bound up in Narcotics Anonymous. I felt like I was in a car and I went down a cul-de-sac, and I knew what I didn't like about that person, about, you know, they didn't work the steps, they preyed on newcomers, they didn't call their sponsor, they owe thousands of child support. Nobody, I had it all, you know what I'm saying? And when I went to put the car in reverse, the car felt like it didn't have reverse, you know? And I was stuck, and I was afraid, and I was coming into meetings, and I was bitter. I'd have my hood up. The Tupac would start playing in my mind. I'd start bobbing and you know, and I was making noises. You know? I sat next to my grant sponsor, and my grant sponsor told me, I go, oh, I'm sorry. I could tell he was bothered. I go, I'm sorry. He said, no, you're not. You want everyone to know you're uncomfortable. And I stopped making noises that day. No. I was really bound up with this cul-de-sac, looking at people. Why am I going to those meetings? I don't know. Y'all been there where sometimes the meetings, you're just like, dude. It's like they're regurgitating, blah, blah, blah. It's a really bad, fearful headspace.
Yeah.
And my sponsor taught me that I had to work the steps on internal dialogue. I had to start using words that fueled forgiveness, compassion.
Yeah.
That he's not a predator, he's insecure. You know what insecure is like. I do know what insecure is like. Well, start calling him insecure and not a punk, and maybe you'll... And I did. I started practicing different words inside, you know? And I started, it felt like the car started to back up and I started to feel safe in here again, you know? I was in a marriage. I went through a divorce. It didn't work out. Again, if you don't work on your childhood trauma, your next relationship will expose it. And this marriage brought me to the brink. I was broke. She sent me to therapy to learn how to respond better, okay? And I went there, and I'm like, I need to learn how to, she's like, why are you here? I'm here. I need to learn how to respond better. She said, what are you responding to? And I told her, I'm responding to this, this, that, this, and this. She said, oh, you're being gaslit. I didn't even know what it meant. I had to look up the word, you know? And so I went home, and I looked up the word, and I'm like, oh, you're gaslighting me. And she's like, I ain't gaslighting you, you're gaslighting me. And I was like, I remember thinking that's the most gaslighting thing answer you could have come up with. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the only reason I share that is because, listen, I knew my responses were not good. I separated myself from her. Right? We separated ourselves. We stopped causing each other pain. It was beautiful. Even though it was ugly, divorces and breakups are ugly, you know? And you're throwing weapons at each other, and it's crazy how two people that care so much about each other can hurt each other so much in the end, you know? But I knew I wasn't responding appropriately. And so after, and I went to therapy, and the therapy wasn't good enough to save the marriage. But I had to fall back on the therapy after she left, and it was good enough for me to be in a place I've never been after a relationship. Like it launched me into this place where I came out of my shell. I was willing to come up to the podium, you know, and I didn't have to throw shade no more. No. And you know, another thing I did is I committed to staying in therapy. And I'm not trying to talk about, listen, y'all told me I had to work the steps over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I've been working them over and over and over again. And there's roads along the journey that I wrote down like you told me to write down. But I didn't walk down them. I wasn't willing to walk down them because they were too painful. I didn't know how to deal with some of the stuff. And so I went out and seek outside help. And I learned I had to establish a relationship with the little boy. I brought the little boy up here. He's here with me right now. I've never done that before. I thought the harder I worked, the more I succeeded, the farther I could distance myself from that little boy, you know? And I didn't know I was dragging him with me the whole time, you know? I had to build a bridge between me and him. I also learned that, I just learned this recently, and I was like, oh, I don't think I like that. The little boy, he responds. He's the one responding. I'm not the one responding, and he's responding like we're 7 years old.
Yep.
And you know what sucks? My sponsor told me fear is an option, right? And I was like, fear feels like a default. It doesn't feel like an option to me. You know, and in order for fear to become an, I went in. I started doing work on fear. I had to identify it in order for it to be an option. What happens? I volunteer myself answers to things I know nothing about. A victim mindset starts. The internal dialogues, things are happening to me, not for me. I lose sight of God. He's present, but I'm so busy trying to survive that I don't even, I can't even, where's God at in it? Doesn't surface when I'm in fear, you know? It's the opposite of faith. After my marriage, I made a conscious decision that I was going to turn all the expectations over to God. What does that look like? What does that look like to give God everything, you know? And because somebody was telling me, my buddy was telling me that it was good talks. I've had some good talks in here. He was telling me that when I doubt God's trustworthiness, it leaves gaps in my spiritual armor, and those gaps fill with fear. And I carry that fear around like baggage in every relationship in my life, you know? And what happened was I was trying to make sense of everything that happened in my life. And if I'm truly in God's will, then what am I trying to figure out?
Yeah.
What am I trying to figure out? You know? Are you in God's will or not? And it was like I said when I got up here, it was like I unlocked a level of freedom where I don't have to worry anymore. Even sharing up here, I was like, I'm a homebody. You know what I'm saying? I'm quiet. And it wasn't like that when I got here. Hey, I'm gonna process something with you real quick.
Do it.
Should I do it?
Do it.
Hey, listen. About maybe 3 weeks ago. No. Take that back. It's about five weeks ago. I had a guy find me in the rooms. Right? He was like, "Hey, will you work with me?" I go, "Yeah, I'll work with you." He goes, "I remember you when I came into early recovery. You were angry and you were loud. And now you're quiet and you're calm. And I want what you got." I was like, "Yeah, call me every day for 30 days. Called me every day for 30 days. I was like, "All right, cool, get some literature." Got some literature. We went to dinner like 2 weeks ago. And he said, "Hey, I need to get something off my chest real quick." I said, "What's up?" He said, "You know that first girlfriend you had in here? First 5 years? I slept with her while you were with her." Hey, let me tell you something. Hey. The ladies told me I had to keep working with them. The fellas told me to drop them. Crazy, huh? You know what? It honestly told me where I was at in my recovery, because here's what I said to him. I go, "Listen, and is this about lessons?" I said, "Listen, man, sometimes in here you're not successful with information. And the truth is, I probably didn't need to know that. No, I think you probably told me that for yourself and you didn't tell me that for me. And that's okay. I understand why." And this kid's going to church. He's God is working in his life. And so I'm smart enough to know that, like, it was with good intent. He tried, you know. He didn't do the work to get to 9. And you know what else I had to think of? Like, do I want to find out 2 or 3 years down the line, after we done put in all this time, where's God at? What happened to where's God? What happened to giving God all the expectations? You know what I'm saying? God brought this kid into your life. You know? I wanted to call her and be like, or I didn't want to call her. I wanted to text her and be like, "Hey, what would you do if some girl wanted to sponsor you?" You know what I'm saying? And I was like, Bron, stop. You don't need to participate in that stuff. Don't get down like that. You know? So yeah, man, I had this program. So again, in the last 3 years, I've continued to practice the therapy. I've continued to work the steps. I've continued to it's been a lot of reprocessing, and I didn't even know that existed, you know? I'm not suffering from the disease of addiction anymore. I'm not telling you that I don't have it. I'm not suffering though. You know, I'm not suffering as a result of putting pen to paper as a result of committing to work with my guys and being of service and turning it over to God. I got a men's group that I meet with that are like, they're solid and they know all my stuff, you know? I truly can't even do this stuff. Like, it's just surreal. It's just so surreal for me, you know? I wish I could force people to get it, you know? I lost my mom when I was 16. She was an alcoholic. And I told the judge that I'd rather live with my dad until my mom got 6 months clean, and she died before she could get 6 months clean. And I carried that burden with me, you know? My dad ended up going to jail, and they ended up putting me in foster care, and if I would have known that that was gonna happen, I never would have made that choice, you know? I didn't really understand why my mom didn't get it, and I did, you know? I was always trying to save my mom. I was always trying to protect her, you know? I learned that I like to protect people at my expense. I sacrifice myself at their expense, you know what I mean? To avoid conflict. Hey, that is a pain in the ass. That is a pain in the ass to sacrifice yourself at other people's expense to avoid conflict. And that's what I do. And I lose myself when I do it because I'm trying to be something I'm not in order to avoid conflict. And I distance myself from who I want to be, and it doesn't allow me to be the best version of myself, you know? And so today I recognize that stuff. I'm able to work on it, you know? I'm able to identify. The key in here for me is do the work, identify the behavior, so you have an opportunity to choose, you know? It's not just doing the work isn't cutting it. I have to do the work to identify the behavior so they have the option to make a different choice. Otherwise, I'm a puppet to it, man. And I don't want to be a puppet to the disease no more, you know? Hey, I'm so excited for this weekend, man. Hey, I love you all. I appreciate you guys allowing me the opportunity to come out here and share. I hope I made sense. If you see me, greet me. Let's hug on each other, okay? I love you. Thank you. Let's give LeBron.